the following was at the May meeting at Frying Pan in 1977.
Father, thou who hast been so wonderfully kind and long-suffering to each one of us every day that we've lived in this world, and who has promised not to leave, not to forsake us, but would be with us even unto death. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast looked down upon such creatures as we are, having made us to know so well and realize that in us, that is in our flesh, it was no good thing. But if we're not deceived, thou hast sent forth thy Spirit into our hearts and brought us to the knowledge of the truth, that we were dead in sin, and then brought us to that new birth, in which if we're not deceived, we were born to the Spirit of our God, made to rejoice in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, as our Lord and our Master. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast in thine infinite wisdom, even before the world began, hast so ordered all things that come to pass every moment of every day. We thank thee that thou hast given us faith to believe that all things are in thy hands, and that thou art accomplishing thine own good and worthy purpose in all things. As we come together, Father, wilt thou take the wanderings of our minds and hearts from the vain of cherishing the foolish things of this life, put them on things which are heavenly and things which are divine. We realize full well that we're oftentimes exercised only with things of this life, and not aware of the fact that we are hastening on as fast as time can move until that day when thou wilt call each one of us home. But thou hast given us hope, O Lord, so that when faith is exercised in us, we're not afraid, but sometimes we're glad that this world is not our home. Sometimes we're glad that thou hast given us to look beyond this life with all of its trials and troubles and turmoils and tribulations, and to have given us that faith and that hope that though we live, we must die, and though we die, we shall be in the resurrection conformed to the image of our blessed Savior, and then we shall be enabled to praise and adore and exalt thy great and holy name in that world that shall not end. We realize, O Lord, that though thou hast greatly blessed us so much of our time, so many times daily, and yet we forget the source of our blessings so often. We pray thee to forgive us for these things, for we're weak in our flesh. Oh, how we need thy grace and the leadings of thy Spirit every hour, every moment of every day that we live here in the world. We thank thee that thou hast brought us a little congregation together this morning. We're glad that it is recorded that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Make us, O Lord, to be thankful that thou hast brought us together, because we feel to realize we're here just exactly as thou hadst ordained it. We pray thee, therefore, to pour out thy Spirit in our hearts and enable us to remember thy mercies and thy grace and to be thankful and to praise thy great and holy name. We thank thee not only for these our brethren and friends here, but we pray thy grace and mercy upon thy people, whatever they may be, because thou hast a people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And they are thine, those of thy elect, out of all of these tongues are thine, and thou dost bring them to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and give them hope of eternal life. We would praise and exalt thy great and holy name. We would lift it up above every name that has ever been named, because we know that there is not a man that has ever lived save our blessed Redeemer, as he was here in the flesh. It is worthy of any praise or honor or glory. But we thank Thee that Thou hast made us to see ourselves as we really are in our flesh, and to see ourselves as we am the hope that we are made by Thy grace. Father, remember Thy people everywhere. We all need Thy grace and Thy mercy, the leadings of Thy Spirit, because we're not sufficient of ourselves for anything. We need grace, and grace alone is sufficient for all of our needs. Remember the sick and the afflicted among us, O Lord, our God, as far as it seems good in Thy sight, that we might pray Thy will be done in their behalf. And especially we would pray Thee to remember our dear brother Triplett, a member of this congregation, whose health is so very poorly. Wilt Thou be with him, give him grace sufficient for his needs, that he might calmly await whatever Thou hast in store for him, and that we might calmly await also whatever Thou hast in store for each one of us, because we know that Thy will is done in heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Father, be with us, we pray Thee, all the days that we're here in this world, and then save us at last in heaven, we beg through Christ's sake. Amen. I have been somewhat troubled all week, my brethren and friends. I have been made to realize so much of late, how that I have no other help but the Lord, and that you have no other help but the Lord. And therefore, as I come before you this morning, I realize, at least I hope I realize, full well, that I, as well as you, are in the hands of our God. It occurred to me this morning how happy we ought to be, and how happy we so very often are when we remember that Thy mercies endure forever, that Thy mercies were ordained before the world began, so that Thou hast brought everything together to accomplish Thy eternal will and purpose. We thank Thee, therefore, O Lord, that though we have been made to realize that we are dead in sin so far as the flesh is concerned, and yet Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, going back before time was, so that we realize that Thou wert the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. We thank Thee for the testimony and for the giving of the grace that Thou didst give thy apostles and the writers of Thy word, so that they, by faith, which are the author and the finisher, by faith they look back beyond time and realize that Thou wert the one who built, made, and created the heavens and the earth. We give Thee thanks that Thou hast made Thy people, enabled Thy people, yea, making Thy people to believe that all things are in Thy hands, and that Thou doest all things according to Thy will and purpose. We thank Thee, O Lord, that we have had, through the working of Thy Spirit, all self-confidence taken away from us, removed from us, because we realize that it is not in man that walketh, as one of the writers said, to direct his steps. We know not which way to go. We know not how to go. But we're glad that Thou hast, in days past, if we're not received in the matter, we're glad that Thou hast spoken in our hearts, brought us to see ourselves as being dead in trespasses and in sin, and then brought us to that new birth in which we rejoice and are exceedingly glad. I'm glad, my brethren and friends, that my mind is sometimes exercised in the words of the apostles and the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we are given faith to believe, and as the Spirit takes these things and applies them to us in our belief and in our faith, we rejoice that these things are not just the beginning of things in time, but time is carrying out according to the eternal will and the purpose of our God, those things which he ordained before the world began. I feel to realize that we ought to be, and though we cannot be, except the Lord gives us faith, we ought to be thankful when he gives us to be thankful that he has looked down upon us and shown us what we are in the flesh, made us to realize that except by his grace that we are nothing at all. The apostle said that by the grace of God I am what I am. I turn to the first chapter of Ephesians as some of those things came into my mind this morning, and the Lord is pleased to open them up. I'd like to talk about some of the grace and the mercy and peace and joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is by the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the Ephesian brethren. He said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." What a wonderful thing it is that the apostle was endowed and enabled by the Spirit of God to talk about the things which the Lord in his grace and mercy has and does reveal unto those whom he had chosen in his Christ and his Son before the world began. And therefore we realize that if we're not deceived, and we know that the apostles and the writers were not deceived, but when they talk about things and write things that we have experienced and which has given us so much comfort from time to time, we're made to believe that the Lord has looked upon us and had pity and compassion. We're made to believe that the Lord began a good work in us, as it said, been confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now he doesn't begin the work and then advise you to carry it on, because we are not able. We're not able of ourselves to carry it on. But the whole matter, from the choosing in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began, to the sending of Jesus into the world, as made of a woman, as we read, you remember, and that he should come for the very express purpose that all that the Father had given him from eternity, given him, of them he should lose nothing, but he should raise it up again at the last day. So the Apostle Paul here, and the Apostle Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. When you read these things as to the salutation, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Does it occur to you, and I'm sure it does at least at times, that he is speaking to you, because all of these epistles were written, while they may have been written to individuals and individual churches, and yet they apply to every one of those that the Father had chosen in Christ before the world began, because he teaches them the very same things, so that when they realize it is by the grace of God that we are what we are, every one of those who are taught of the Lord, they say, Amen. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Not by my works, because the Lord has shown us that we are miserable failures, and therefore not by our works, by the grace of God. Now, Paul desires through these Ephesian brethren, and through the church everywhere, the brethren everywhere, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we desire those things, do we not? I'm sure that sometimes at least, when you're at prayer, that your mind and thoughts, desires are upon your brethren. The apostle was, and every time that any of them wrote, they were mindful of the grace of God that were given to themselves as well as unto the brethren. So he says to the Ephesian brethren, he says to you, I hope to me, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have the hope and have the realization that God's grace is sufficient. My grace, when Paul was brought to much trouble and tribulation, you remember, and he was made to mourn over it. He had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger Satan. And yet when he had desired that the Lord would remove these things from him, the Lord didn't remove that from him, but he does like he says to us sometimes if we're not deceived. Even though we have trouble and sorrows and afflictions, and we would pray as earnestly as we know how to pray, that the Lord would remove them. But it is with us as it was with Saul of Tarsus. Jesus, our God, answered his prayer, and he said, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, what a wonderful thing that is. Has it ever been spoken into your heart, my brethren and sisters and friends, that God's grace is sufficient? Though you feel to realize that you're the vilest of all sinners and the least worthy of any notice, even the notice of the God of heaven, and yet with the Saul of Tarsus, of Paul, the apostle, when he had so many trials and tribulations there in that circumstance, in that trial, the Lord said, My grace is sufficient. Now, I know that I go about some of my times, and I have this week a great deal of the time, wondering about many things and being concerned about so many, very, very many things. And yet, with it all, there has been in the underneath about all of it, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, it's not the Lord isn't weak, he doesn't mean that, but the apostle had about right, I think, when he said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. The Lord knew how weak Paul was, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When God applies and sends forth his spirit into the heart, and we are raised out of our doubts and fears and tremblings, and faith is given us once more to look to our God and to thank him for his mercies and his long-suffering to us all. So he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now there's something there that I would like to stress. Blessed be God the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now there's a lot of difference we might feel to realize in natural blessings and spiritual blessings. The Lord provides for us the daily necessities of life, And he does that as it is his will to all men in every nation, kindred, and tongue, as it is the Lord's will to supply them with such things as they need naturally. But the Lord is blessed, blesses and exalts the name of God, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So this takes us back in our thoughts and in our contemplation and our hope and our thankfulness of heart to realize that God himself has blessed his people with all spiritual blessing according as he has chosen them in him before the foundation of the world. Now it's remarkable to me, and it's really sad to me, to know that there's thousands upon thousands of people that don't believe the half of what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught. Many of them do not even believe that God created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. They don't believe that. Many people today don't believe that God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. They don't believe that God created a form man. They believe that in some inferior organ, some little something or the other, just grew and grew and grew. And lo and behold, in this late day, we have these things that we see around about us. But it isn't that way. Now, somebody came home yesterday, I believe it was, or recently. I wasn't in on the conversation. But there's so many things that these two men, that they didn't have the slightest idea of what the scriptures teach. They have been gone to school, they've been taught certain things that their organization believed. But that's far from being the right things. Because, my brethren, the apostle said, contend earnestly for the faith, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Speak the truth in righteousness. Yea, he said, preach the truth. So whenever we go, anybody, I don't care who he is, that goes astray, goes a prior off from the teaching of the Spirit of our God, the teachings of Jesus, and it is as it is laid down in the Bible for us, so that we know that that the Lord himself was the one that looked down upon you and me. He looked down upon me and had pity and compassion. If he hadn't, I know that I would have been just today just what I was, trusting to some extent in my own works. But it wasn't that. It is according as he had chosen us in him. Now, a lot of people don't believe that God chose his people in Christ before the world began. They just don't believe it. They don't believe that Jesus said, all that the Father give me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. They believe that God is doing his best, the level best, if I may use that expression, to get everybody to believe. And that's what the various churches and their organizations are about today, trying to get everybody to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he is their Savior, trying to get them to just take hold of him and take him in, when Lord knows that a man or a person that's dead can't do anything. And if the Lord ever speaks in the hearts of these people and they're made to realize how dead they are in trespasses and in sin, they will forever quit trying to tell you that the Lord wants you to do something. The Lord wants you to accept him. It is often said, you know, that if this was the way it was, even for sinners, it was held out to them, that grace and mercy of theirs, if you just accept it, is there a person, a natural man in the world, that wouldn't accept such as that if it were possible for a man to accept it? But it isn't possible, my brethren. It's absolutely not possible, because only those whom he had chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So therefore, the whole world doesn't believe in the election of grace. They don't believe that God chose his people. They don't believe that God elected his people, and that he chose every one of them, and those that he loved and chose in Christ Jesus, that they are his people, and that he saves them with an everlasting salvation, so that as they live in this world, under the Spirit, to teaching the Spirit of our God, he said before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, of course, I know that there are a lot of people, I say the predestination only belongs to the church, the membership in the church, but I think if I am blessed to get a little bit further along in this, what I read, we will see the predestination doesn't stop just at the choosing of the saints of God before the world began, and us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us, determined beforehand, chosen his people beforehand, elect according to the eternal will and the purpose of our God. So God, my friends and brethren, as you well know, he's taking care of all of these things because he knew his people, every one of them, before the world began. He knew his people before the world began, every one of them before that he had created man, before he formed the heaven and the earth, before that man, of course, was ever formed the dust of the earth. He knew, he determined, he fixed the whole matter so that all of those that he loved, and who can understand such a love as our God has, all of those that he fixed his love upon, that he brings them forth, chose him in Christ, chose them in Christ Jesus as their Savior, and then sometime while they live here in the world, this has been going on for these thousands and thousands of years, that God chooses, calls out to darkness those that he chose in Christ before the world began. And therefore he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not because that he saw that some were more holy than others, no, because he knew that every one of them were dead in trespasses and in sins, but he loved them, and it was according to his good pleasure of his will, that he chose his people in his son Jesus Christ. This whole matter is a matter of love. John, you remember, said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. What manner of love? Haven't you confessed in your own heart many times that you're not worthy, that God should have looked upon you with pity or compassion? You're not worthy of that because you're the vilest sinner. You may fear that you're the vilest sinner the devil is. And yet God loved you. God loved you with such a love that he gave his only begotten son. This is a great mystery to me. How did God love poor sinners such as you and I are? And yet he loved them with such a love that he gave his only begotten son. There is a mystery that I shall never, so far as I know, I shall never understand. The depth and the mystery of the grace and the mercy and the love of God, that he had chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. Yes, his eternal will and purpose predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We are in our flesh, after the Adam man, we're children, but he has predestinated us, though we are children of Adam here, he has predestinated his people to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we haven't received the adoption yet. We've received the spirit of the adoption. When you are brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, and Jesus Christ is given to you to realize and to know that he is your God and your Savior, then you have the spirit of the matter. You're waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of our bodies. And so these things here, that are the adoption and waiting the redemption of our bodies, the adoption to wit the redemption of our bodies. These things are all in succession according to the eternal will and the purpose of God. There's nothing gone astray, nothing left out. Everything is fixed by the eternal wisdom of our God. So he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Yes. Now, he has made us accepted in the beloved. So many people will tell you that he will receive you if you will do so and so. But as a matter of fact, my brethren, it is when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, without a spark of spiritual life in us, a spark of any kind of life in us, really, God chose his people before the world began. And oh, what a gracious God he is, that he, even before the world began, had fixed it so that you and I, if we are not deceived in the matter, that we should be given grace to praise and to adore and exalt his great and holy name. It is by his grace, my friends and brethren, that we gathered here together, though we are very few. And yet, he said, where two or three are gathered together, as I believe I quoted, there am I in the midst of them. And so, it is to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Yes, it's to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted. Now, we haven't done something. We haven't done anything that we would call good, that men would call good, that he has accepted us. No, it was when we were dead. Being confident in this very thing, that he that has begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the whole matter, the beginning of it, the middle of it, and the end of it is all by the grace of our God unto poor, hell-deserving sinners as we are, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh yes, the riches of his grace and his mercy. We have all these things. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Now he's made known unto us the mystery of his will. Isn't it a mystery that God sent his son here in the world for the express purpose of redeeming sinners, men and women who had turned against God, disobeyed his laws, and yet God loved them with an everlasting love and loved them so well and so much that he sent his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, into the world that he should redeem them by the sacrifice of himself. That's a mystery. We're talking about a mystery, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of why God loved his people, such as we are, examples of sinners, none worthy of God's notice at all. And yet, if you have had some wonderful and glorious manifestations in your heart, if you've had evidences that God has spoken to you, poor sinner that you are, and given you hope of eternal life, it shows, my friends and brethren, the love of God unto poor sinners such as we are. It was the reason why he gave his only begotten Son. Now, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. One of the writers says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Think about that. God was manifest in the flesh. Believed on in the world. Seen of angels. And all of these things. This was the mystery without controversy. There's no question about it. It's a mystery that God should do all of these things for us. And then it said he was received up into glory. And so the whole matter of Jesus coming into the world was predisposed, was predestinated, prefixed, that he should come, that you and I, together with all those that the Lord loved before the world began, should be brought out of darkness into the marvelous light and enabled to praise, to exalt, and to adore his great and holy name. Now, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Now, here I wanted to bring this in, if I may, if I can, if I'm unable to, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, he said back here, said, let me find that, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, unto himself, I believe. Now, here he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. Now, if these things are predestinated according to the purpose of our God, then, my brethren, those who say that predestination is only limited to the church, to the membership of the church, but everything that goes with these things, everything, the calling out of darkness and the giving of grace and giving of hope, these are all according to those things which were predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And so I'm one from many, many years now that I've been convinced and convicted or made to believe that all things, yes, all things, it matters not what. The apostle in the 8th of Romans said, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. So I'm not about to say that there's some things that God doesn't know anything about. There's some things that just happen so, which it would be, I think, if we didn't believe that he predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. I can't conceive of God carrying out his eternal will and purpose unless he had fixed the end from the beginning from the end. Yes, he fixed the whole matter so that I believe that we are everyone right here today. And all the evidence is and it cannot be disproved. We're every one of us here. God determined before the world began that we're here. And we're here, we only hope, and it shall be that all of our singing, our praying, our speaking, and our hearing shall be to the praise and the honor of his glory. So, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. An inheritance. Isn't it wonderful, my brethren, that the old brethren used to sing, "This world is not my home." They see, the old brethren, they sought a city which was to come, whose maker and builder is God. Peter, you remember, tells us about the Lord saying that he said he's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. To an inheritance. See what a wonderful thing that inheritance brings it in. The inheritance is undefiled, fadeth not away, but reserved for you who are kept. Now, just to think that God teaches people who are kept by the power of God ready to be revealed in the last day. So, my brethren, I use that when I come across this in my thinking and of it. I said sometimes to the brethren, I said, "Now, we are here today just like we are, and we know we're all here. But we don't know when the Lord in his infinite wisdom and according to his purpose from the foundation of the world will call us home. It may be, could be, and it has sometimes been, that the brethren would gather together, and before the congregation was dismissed, somebody had passed on. Well, the time had come, and I remember one old elder down in North Carolina when we were younger, much younger now, that he was preaching, and he just fell and died directly. And so we don't know. But as a matter of fact, my brethren, he has given us an inheritance. Now, we know that an inheritance that we receive from our parents or somebody we inherited from some friend or something or other, we could, and often it is given away, thrown away, gambled away, doesn't amount to anything. But here it is, an inheritance is undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, if one of us, the more, should die before we leave this building today, I am well confident, my brethren, that we are ready, because we are always ready. In the hands of our God, we're always ready for whatever God's will is concerning us. And so we kept by the power of God through faith and salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And so that's the inheritance. That's inheritance. Heaven is the children's God's home. Jesus, and the other writers makes it clear we have a home that is beyond this life. We have a home in heaven. Some are talking about how beautiful heaven must be. It is, no doubt it is beautiful. I don't know anything about it being beautiful as we see natural things here today, beautiful flowers and so on. I don't know about that. But heaven is beautiful because it is the very presence, the very essence of our God there that is fixed itself, that even though we live and must die, yet we shall live it again, because he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And we may be sure and certain that whatever God has fixed and determined and predestinated them according to his own will and purpose, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now to whom do we address our praise? To whom do we address our prayer? Not to some brother, not to some elder, not to somebody like that, not even to the Apostle Paul or Peter or any of those, but rather to the praise of the glory of his glory. Yes, his glory. And it was because of these first trusted in Christ, as it said here, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. Everything, my brethren, is according to the eternal will and the purpose of our God, and I'm not ashamed to preach that doctrine. But I would be ashamed if I had a right mind about it. I'd be ashamed to say that some things God has fixed, but other things he just doesn't pay attention to. I don't believe a word of that. I'm glad it, I don't. I'm satisfied you don't either. Because God has fixed all things. He begins the work in an individual. Being confident of this, there are things I quoted, that he that has begun a good work in you, he begins the work. Some people say, well, you have to begin it. You have to, I was told when I was a child, you had to let the Lord know that you wanted to be saved or you never would be saved. Oh no, my brethren, that isn't it. You think that our God doesn't know all things. He knows everything about us, you and me. He knows us all together. And when it was his time to make manifest and give us the hope of eternal life, he gave us because he'd chosen us as an individual in heaven and before the world began. He chose us then, sends forth his Spirit and gives us hope of eternal life. And so I'm not ashamed of this kind of a doctrine. I would be ashamed of a doctrine that says that God doesn't know all things, that God has to wait for today and tomorrow and next day to see whether men are going to believe or not. And whether the exertions of so-called churches in the world today are going to be so successful in getting a great majority of the people to believe in Jesus Christ. But no, Jesus is not worried about a thing like that. And the fact of the matter is, I said not long ago, that Jesus is not worried about, he's not concerned. I know you'll understand what I mean. He's not concerned with anybody except his people. The people that God gave him. He's concerned about that. He said, I pray not for the world, but for those that God has given me out of the world. And so, while we are commanded to preach, to pray for those in authority, kings, and so forth and so on, but Jesus did not pray for the world, in the sense which he said, I pray not for the world, but for those that God has given me out of the world. And so, my brethren, our desire is that we might pray and give thanks unto our God for the hope of eternal life that He has given to us, and which He thus saves to us sometimes and makes us to remember, even out of the midst of darkness and troubles and wonderments, and if the Lord is being gone forever. And yet, in His own good time, He speaks. He speaks in His joy in the very being of the Lord's people. He speaks joy and peace unto them. And He gives them grace sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made, as I quoted, perfect in weakness. I've scattered along. There's so many things in this and going on down through that chapter, but I won't take the time this morning. Read it, the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and as well as the rest of the book. Now, may the Lord be with you and give you grace sufficient for your need. I've been asked to thank the brethren, the church with you, and any brethren that might have sent flowers and sympathy to Anna Norman. As you know, our brother Ben Norman, after being received in the church subject to baptism, he has since died. I suppose that all of you have heard about that. And we went to the funeral, and his wife now is thankful unto the church for sending flowers. We're glad to do that. Now, the triplet, I haven't talked to him since, I believe, Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. But he's not getting along at all well. It seems to me that he's here for a short time, according to the purpose of our God, but we don't know about that. But anyhow, I'd like for you to know, he wants to be remembered to the brethren, sisters, and friends. And all of you knew him as to be being one who loved the church, who loved the brethren, who loved the doctrine. And now the Lord is about, it seems, to take him home. May we all give thanks to our God for His mercies and His blessings forever and ever. The book open at the place, Children of the Heavenly King, As You Journey, Sweetly Sing. Seems to me to be appropriate. Page 154, the first hymn. And while we sing, we announce an open door for reception of members. I know that some are exercised in their hearts, and when the time comes, they will be exercised in the Spirit of God, so that they shall tell their brethren and friends how great things the Lord has done for them. Let us stand and sing that. Praise, glory in Him. O Lord, our God, we humbly hope that we have had thankful hearts unto Thee. We pray Thee, Lord, to so enable us to walk softly as we live in this world, that we might remember what poor sinners we are and how only by Thy grace that we are what we are. Lead us and guide us, O Lord, our God, as we live from day to day, giving us grace sufficient for our needs, enabling us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. May the praise, the honor, and the glory all be Thine forever and ever. Amen.